Welcome to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. I'm Justine Toe. Well, the late Christopher Hitchens famously said that religion poisons everything, and it's the kind of sentiment that is widely believed today. But is it actually true? Well, CPX is embarking on a documentary project that's going to spill the beans on the best and the worst of Christian history over the last 2,000 years. It's called For the Love of God, How the Church is Better and Worse Than You Ever Imagined. Now, here with me in the studio are some key players in that documentary, and you'll be familiar with them. We've got Simon Smart. Hi, Simon.
Hey, Justine.
And John Dixon.
Hi, nice to talk with you.
John, let's start with you. Why this documentary now? Where did the idea come from?
It's an idea we've had for, maybe from our very beginning, 8 years ago. The Centre for Public Christianity was sort of set up because of this growing realisation that many people think that Christianity in particular has had a basically bad influence on the world and on life, and that Christianity inhibits life today. So our whole mission as an organisation has been to sort of say that's not the whole story. And in the last, say, 5 years, we've been hoping to put something together that is substantial, that will honestly confront the best and the worst, in order to help people see that it's far more mixed than most of the mainstream critics of Christianity would suspect.
So that's the reason for this warts and all approach, that you want to be able to say, yeah, people have a point.
We want to be honest, right? We don't want to just be pretend to be humble by saying, yeah, we did a few bad things, but we were awesome. That's not really what we want to do. We want to sort of be honest about how bad it got. And it got pretty bad. The church has done some terrible things in the name of Christ, and they need to be told. But there's a sense in which we can be safe. We are safe in exposing those things, because Jesus himself was a great exposer of hypocrisy. So we're only carrying on his tradition.
Now, John, there's a number of terrible episodes in Christian history that people immediately reach for. You know, Crusades, Inquisition, witch trials, the general treatment of women, missionaries, need I go on, right? Given that sort of backstory, you would imagine, I suppose, that people have fair reason to be cynical about the church.
Yes and no. Most people's idea of the history comes from a documentary they watched one night when they were half awake, or, you know, some passing statement of a Fairfax journalist about the millions killed in the Inquisitions, for example, which is actually a quote from a respected journalist. And so we just pick up little bits and pieces. If you actually ask the average person on the street to put a second sentence together about the Crusades, they'd probably stop. All we know is the Crusades were really bad, and it was in the name of Christ. And there's a sense in which that's true, but it's just far more mixed. And I, for one, think that we can be open about how bad it got and also correct a few of the exaggerations. And I think they are exaggerations. Every new era tends to tell the past in exaggerated terms so that we feel better about ourselves. You know, it'll happen to us 150 years from now. People will talk about 21st century Australia in such exaggerated bad terms in order to make 23rd century Australia sound really cool and like the liberator.
Now, you mentioned that it did get pretty bad at some points. Do you care to share some stories about some of the church's evils, and do they even exceed people's assumptions?
Sometimes they do. The Crusaders on the way to Jerusalem practiced their skills as they marched along to the Holy Land by killing Jewish communities. I mean, it's astonishing.
These are believers in...
Yeah, yeah. Sure, they're believers. When they got to Jerusalem, they also engaged in killing women and children, not just soldiers protecting the city. And so you've got to say, what on earth is that about? I mean, and how does that relate to Jesus, who said, you know, whoever takes up the sword will die by the sword, who told us to love our enemies? So these examples are there in history, but they really are departures from Jesus rather than following Jesus.
Will the documentary also look at, I guess, the contemporary evils of the church, perhaps like the sex abuse scandals?
We're not going to confront that. I mean, it probably deserves a documentary all on its own. But more recent examples would be the sort of great mission movements and how have missionaries contributed or taken away from Indigenous cultures around the world? I think that's an important question to confront. And again, the evidence is far more mixed than people realise. There are scholars who genuinely and with data, hard data, think that on the whole, missionaries were a positive influence pretty much everywhere they went.
Now, Simon, you interviewed Yale theologian Miroslav Volf when he was in Sydney, and this is the first of many interviews that are going to feature in the documentary. Here's what Professor Volf had to say about Christian violence.
Now, in Christian history, there have been terrible episodes of violence. That's undeniable, and we can't even say that some Christian reasons have not been given for that violence. And generally, I think what happens is there's a certain kind of thinning out of religion, or what happens as well is if you instrumentalize religion, religion becomes an instrument for you, you're going to recraft it to fit a particular situation. And the situation where Christian faith, as well as other religions, have proven to be almost invariably instruments of violence is when religions aspire to be close to political power. When that happens, religion in some ways becomes thinned out of its proper content, but it also ends up being recrafted so that you have a kind of version, bellicose and belligerent versions of religions that emerge that are a result of the kind of betrayal of its own image, of its own central message, and the betrayal that is a result of this search for proximity with the powers that be.
Now, Simon, presumably that interview with Professor Volf captures the vibe of the documentary. You know, it's a sober look at how sincere Christians have gotten their faith sincerely wrong at times, especially when it comes to the question of violence.
Yes, there's no doubt that that's true, and it shouldn't really be a surprise to anyone who understands what believers really believe. All of us who have a Christian commitment know that we're going to fall short of the calling that we feel like we've been drawn into. People are painfully aware of that in their own lives. We are painfully aware of it in Christian history. But there's also a different story to tell as well, and we're going to be trying to tell that as accurately as we can.
Well, on that point, late last year you went to the United States to interview a bunch of experts about the church's record when it comes to the Crusades, Inquisition, etc. Are there any surprising findings?
Yes. I mean, there is surprising or perhaps confirming things that might be a surprise to people who don't know a lot about this. So I think John was mentioning the millions killed in the Inquisition. We hear that a lot. I heard it again this week in a comment in relation to something I'd written. Some of these scholars were talking about that, the fact that that's a massive exaggeration. I mean, ridiculously so. Much more like about 18 people a year across several hundred years. So it's terrible. It's awful. But it's a long way from the kind of classic kind
the
of...
The casual line that people just
the casual line of yeah. millions of people. Some of the scholars pointed out that in some instances, even the Inquisition could be thought of as kind of limiting the damage that might have been done to people otherwise. So, for instance, rather than just have a kind of claims of heresy and then the punishments associated with that being free-for-all, that the Inquisition came along and instituted a process by which there was an actual court set up so that many people were actually protected and found not guilty. The Crusades, we want to think about the medieval mindset. You know, how's that different to today, and how might that mitigate how we assess this period in some way?
On that, one of the great Crusades scholars argues that in the period before the crusading culture, Christianity had been transformed as much by the warrior traditions of the pre-Christian Germanic tribes of Europe as those Germanic tribes were influenced by the Christianity that converted them. So that just before the Crusades takes off, you've got poems about Jesus the warrior and about the apostles warring their way around the world. This was not from Christian tradition. This was a melding of Christian tradition with Germanic warrior culture, which just tells us it's a little more messy than most of us would think. people weren't simply reaching into their Bibles and going, ah, we need to go and kill those people over in Jerusalem.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. We're talking about our new documentary project called For the Love of God, how the church is better and worse than you ever imagined. Okay, so what about we turn to the positive record of the church? In what ways has the church actually been a real boon for Western society?
Where to begin?
Yeah, well, exactly. Let's just have a crack at a few. I mean, even the revolutionary understanding of what it was to be a human being, the value that people came to attach to every single human life, is massive gift of Christianity. And things were very different in the first century. So people have been pointing this out, and we want to tell that story. And of course, there's the associated story that flows out of that, the long Christian tradition of charity and care for the most vulnerable, the sort of most outcast of the society. That comes from that. Human rights comes from, you know, out of this. And John, you might talk about this in a sec, but things like hospitals and hospices, care for babies that would have been left out on rubbish dumps in ancient cities, education not only for universities but also eventually the idea that we should be able to educate all classes. All sorts of things like this flow out of the Christian story. There's heaps of examples of that that we're going to touch on.
Perhaps the fundamental thing, and it drives through all of those things Simon just mentioned, is that it's not the Greeks and Romans, you know, in the pre-Christian era, just were all nasty and didn't believe in being nice to anyone. That's not what's being said here. But they did not think, in fact, they had good rational reasons for not thinking, that every human being was of the same value. So although it might be wise for a benefactor or an emperor to give some grain to the city, you can be sure that was only given to the worthy. You can be sure that was only given to citizens. The idea that it would go to the begging class, the truly poor, the worthless in Roman society, it's just anathema. It's illogical, irrational. And if you think about it for a second, it is irrational that you would prize those that nature has sort of sent to the bottom. Just focus on those who have some value to give back by your kindness. The Christians came along and said, actually, God really likes those people right at the bottom. And so they just tried to invent ways of caring for the worst, the completely unworthy, because they believed God was like that. And so if God's like that, that means the whole universe is animated by that same care.
And I guess what we want to talk about is the fact that this made an actual difference that everyone can be glad of, whether they're a believer or not. And there are plenty of times where that vision wasn't fulfilled very well by the believers, but there's lots of times where it was. And you see heaps of examples of this in this story.
It wouldn't be an exaggeration to say that if you find yourself as a Westerner who's not a Christian, thinking that it is kind of logical and beautiful to care for the people at the bottom of society who have nothing to give back to you, if you think that because of the influence of Christianity on the West.
If the documentary is trying to set the record straight and to myth bust essentially some of the really terrible episodes and the myths that have grown up around the church's failings, is there a corresponding danger in claiming too much, in actually saying, oh, well, we're responsible for everything that's good?
Yes, there is, and people do this, right? Sometimes in trying to make some valid claims about what Christianity has contributed to the world, you can overreach. And we're going to try not to do that. And we're going to go to the experts in their fields, whether they're believers or not, so that we don't do that, so we get the most accurate picture possible.
So what are you hoping for the documentary? What do you hope to achieve?
I hope people will realise that the history is mixed enough to take a second look and to realise that when Christians have been violent and myopic and bigoted, they're not following Jesus, they're departing from Jesus. Because we will constantly be asking the question, when Christians acted this way, whether it be charity or violence, are they following or rejecting Jesus? And I think that will be clear to people at the end of the documentary, and they may want to know more.
So there you have it, a glimpse into CPX's newest project, a documentary called For the Love of God, How the Church is Better and Worse Than You Ever Imagined. We'll be releasing exclusive grabs from our interviews over the next little while, and you can stay updated by visiting ForTheLoveOfGodProject.com. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Justin.
You've been listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. For more on Christianity and modern life, go to publicchristianity.org.